You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome and greet all of you wherever you're at. And I'm so honored and happy today. I got my wife sitting across the table with us here today to encourage you. She's been through a little bit of a battle. I mentioned last week and explained what she'd been through for a lot, big part of it. She's home. She's resting. And we know she's going to have complete restoration in her physical life to continue on to accomplish what God wants her to do. So I don't know how much she's going to talk today. It depends how she feels. But it's open to her to say whatever she wants as always. So I love her so much. And we just honor the Lord that He's going to raise her up. Right, Pastor Donna?
Amen. Amen.
Raised up. Hallelujah.
I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be home.
That's right.
17 days in the hospital is like being in jail for 10 years.
In prison, right?
Prison, yes. But I thank the Lord for doctors, for nurses, for
we had some good
prayer.
Ones, didn't we?
I thank the Lord for prayer people. Partners,
amen. Everybody
prayer.
Praying.
Praise the Lord. Well, we want to mention, too, that we have services here in Stuart, Florida.
Yep.
Every Friday night at 7 p.m.
Our Shabbat.
And every Sunday at 10 a.m. So avail yourself to that if you'd like to come and visit us. We are in Stuart, Florida. I'll let you give the... we're right on Cantor Highway in Monterey, in the Monterey Plaza. And it's not that I have a sore throat or anything, because I know I sound a little strange. It's just that I'm weak.
Right.
But I don't declare that.
That's
because
right.
I am strong in the Lord.
In the Lord,
and
yes.
As this goes by, I believe that I will be strengthened even more because God's word is true and God's word strengthens us. Amen.
That's right.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. But I have been through a battle, and you know, when you can't do much of anything for that length of time, and even probably...
You're laying around in bed all that
probably
time.
Probably even a month before that, not knowing what my problems were. But my problems are not my problems. My problems are God's problems.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And so I just thank the Lord. Amen. So we're also on the internet. So you can listen to us by way of WCNO.com. You can download their app. And I have it on my phone. I listen to WCNO and their music. Oh, quite often, and so it's really nice to have it on your phone, your tablet, your computer,
mm-hmm.
and this program can be heard anywhere in the world, which is awesome. So we thank the Lord for your prayers, your continued prayer, praying for both of us, amen, because God still has work for us to do. The time is short, and we want to be in God's perfect will, not His
permissive will,
no.
That's right.
Amen. That's what we should all desire, to be in God's perfect will.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the situations are. Well, our phone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
We're 007 agents, aren't we, honey?
Yes, we are. Amen.
And we're not in disguise. We're out in the open letting people know about Jesus. Amen.
Thank
Yeshua.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
So we're honored to be here with you. She wasn't with me the last 2 weeks, and I missed her so much. It felt very strange sitting here doing this program without my precious wife across the table from me. But anyway, she's here today in spirit, soul, and body, and she's recovering. We thank you. As the New Testament says, that we're going to be what? Whole, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. When Jesus comes. So we're honored to be here with you. Hallelujah.
And I believe as you teach and preach here and share, that I'm going to sit here and get stronger as the hour goes by.
Amen. So you can avail yourself, so I should say, to the program and to us, to hear what the Lord might say to you. As we tell you, when you open up your Bible and read the Bible, ask God to give you a prophetic mind. It's not just a book we read. This is a living book. This is a living word. It's alive. And God will show you things. Sometimes you might have a verse you've read 100 times. And you read it the 101st time, and all of a sudden, there's an enlightenment coming. Revelation comes out of that scripture. Maybe for you, for personally, maybe someone in your family, or for ministry-wise, whatever. And so that's what you have to learn how to do. This is a living word we have. I like to call it a living word. Hallelujah. You know, this is a written logos I have in my hands here. But the rhema that comes off of it is the living word. That's what we want to find out, what God wants us to know in the deep way. And there's some deep things in the Word of God, so we have to be a Berean. Search things out and see if these things be so, right, Pastor Don? And so that's what God's wanting us all to do, to walk in the fullness of it, not to be afraid of it. You know, a lot of people, for some reason, are afraid of the Holy Ghost. Why would we be afraid of the Holy Ghost? All He wants is the very best for you and I, and He's there. He's a comforter. He's a helper. He's there to do those things for you and I. And so we want to keep that in mind at all times. Amen? Well, what I was thinking about this morning when I got up and I was praying, a little while, the Lord took me over to John chapter 16. I wanted to share some things out of John chapter 16 with you today. And have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you. And I believe that God's going to give some of you something very important as we listen to the Word of God. It's like we take communion, right, Pastor Don? Holy Communion. It's the meal that heals. I tell people all the time, there's a word underneath the communion for each and every one of us. God has something to share with each and every one of us if we look to Him and trust Him in whatever we're doing. And so if we do it seriously with Him and know the importance of it, what it represents, it's all about Him, everything's about Him, well, then we get a lot from this, and we can be healed, we can have anything that's happened in our life, we can be restored. It's the meal that heals. So praise God for that. So I was going to take you over to John chapter 16 with me, and I'm going to read not maybe all of this, but a good part of this. Hallelujah. Let's start in the very first verse and just let's read the Holy Word here. Amen. Jesus, this is all, these letters in here are all in red. So we used to tell the kids, didn't we, Pastor Don? If you don't read anything else, read everything that's red in the New Testament. You'll have a strong walk with the Lord. Here we go. Verse 1 of chapter 16. These things, Jesus said, or Yeshua, have I spoken unto you, and ye should not be what? Offended. See, we shouldn't be offended by anything that comes from the Word of God. But the Bible talks about some of those that are going to fall away because they were offended and went in the Word. They don't like what the Word has to say. Well, they want to live their lives maybe the wrong way. Well, it means they're offended. They don't want to trust the Lord. And so we're not offended by anything that He says in there. We need to speak the truth and nothing but the truth. Now, verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Isn't it amazing? They're going to think that they did God service by killing him. Verse 3, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Hear that? So we have a lot of things said in our country, in different places, about Christ, and people mock him and make fun of him. We've taken things around out of rotundas in each state and all because they are offended by the Word of God and by Christ. Well, we're not offended. And he says right here, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things, Jesus says, have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. So, this is an interesting verse. I'll read it again. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. So this is interesting. So he was going to tell us, the disciples, as time went along, and we can read the Word of God today, prophetically, and we can even see the timeline that God has in place to bring the conclusion of this age that we're in down to the end and start the start of Jacob's trouble and all this. He's given us clues all through the Word of God to understand this. So we have to walk, talk, think, and study by the Spirit of God, and then we're going to see some things in our lives that we may not have known before. So all the truth is in this book that I got in front of me. This is the truth, the only truth. This is the only truth, and we thank you for that, Lord. Now, verse 5. But now, Jesus says, I go my way to him, who's the him? His Father, that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? They say, nobody's asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. So instead of rejoicing, knowing that he had to die and raise from the dead and all that he told them, well, they were sad, and he said, you should be rejoicing in your heart, because when he died and rose from the grave, that was the beginning, just within a few days of the birthing of the church of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. He didn't want us to have any sorrow over that. We should rejoice in the resurrection. We know it was a painful time, Passover and all, but 3 days after he died, he rose from the grave, and then all joy came upon all of us and the disciples, knowing who Jesus really is and what he accomplished and what he did. So that was an important point in history. The most important event that ever happened in history was the day that Yeshua rose from the grave. And of course, he had to die before that. But those 3 days are incredible when we think about all that went on at that particular time. But he had a destiny. He had an expected end, as it says in Jeremiah. And that expected end was to die, to raise from the grave, send the Holy Ghost to all of us, that we might walk in the same power and anointing that he had when he walked the earth. And he's the one, he's the anointed one. And so we receive everything that he has. So this is amazing when I think about it. So there shouldn't have been no sorrow, but they were for a little bit until they realized what was going to happen. And then when the day of Pentecost came, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance, they moved out, and that was the birthing of the church, the ecclesia of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. Wow. They rejoiced in that. They went through a lot. They had all kinds of testings and everything in their life. And we say this all the time. You know, you can't have a testimony, can you, Pastor Donna, without some kind of a test. Pastor Donna just went through some things, and this is a test, but she's passing this test. It's going to make her stronger, more powerful, more anointed than ever before, because she's passed the test. And those things happen, amen? Now let's look at verse 7. He says, Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Do we want the truth? We want the truth, don't we? It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. So who's the Comforter? We're going to find out as we read this. It's the Holy Ghost. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove, listen to this, he's going to reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Three things he's going to reprove the world of. He's going to expose it, in other words. Verse 9, of sin, the first thing he mentioned. Of sin, because they believe not me. I was talking to Pastor Don here a moment ago. You know, everybody in the world right now that does not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, he's the true Messiah, no one else, it tells you right here that they're in sin.
Right.
So if we don't have Jesus, we're not going to go to heaven, are we? There's right. A heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So we have to have him. If we don't, we're going to be a sinner, and sinners are going to go to hell. It's sad to say that, but it's a fact. The Bible tells us that. Of sin, because they believe not on me. They have to believe in him, not coexisting and all the other stuff that we hear today, and all these other pagan religions and even things and denominations and all that are contrary to the Word of God. We have to believe that he is the only way. As it says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me.
And all have sinned.
We've all sinned and missed the glory of God.
You say, well, I don't do anything wrong. Well, everyone has sinned. If we say we don't sin, we're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
We've all sinned.
That's right.
Excuse me.
So no one can come to the Father except by Jesus himself. So he said, if you're in that place, listen to you right now. Listen to me now if you're on the radio with us. If you have not asked Jesus to come into your life, bless you, and have not trusted him, and cast your care and your whole life and given it to him. Well, the Bible tells us right here, if we believe not on him, what? Then we're in sin. So sinners need to have a Savior. Well, the only Savior that's going to can save you from your sins is Yeshua HaMashiach. There's no other. He's our Messiah. So we're so honored to know that we have him in our lives. and what a peace it brings to you and I if we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He's in our lives, that we're obeying His words. We're going to see this in a moment as we read this. Well, then we have peace in our heart. It's a peace that passes all understanding. The world can't give it. No man can give it to you. Only the Messiah can give it to you. You have a peace that passes all understanding. And as it says over there in Philippians, He's going to even allow the Spirit of God and the unction of the Holy Ghost to guard and protect your heart and mind in Christ Jesus during these dreadful days that we live in. And things are probably going to get worse before they get better. The Bible makes that clear. But we're looking to Him and trusting Him, and we know that when that shout comes from heaven, that shofar is blown, and whoosh, among de la kasan, and the resurrection out from among the dead comes, and then the catching away of all the true believers that are on the earth that believe in the Messiah, well, then we're going to be caught up to heaven, and all the problems will be over. But in the meantime, we'll have problems. We know that because we live in this world. We live in a fallen world. We're not in this world. I said that wrong. We're in this world, but we're not to be a part of this world. Amen? So we have to remember that. So who's our source? His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. He's the one. We cast all of our care, all of our concerns upon Him because He loves us so much and He wants the best for you and I. So we got to keep that in our heart and mind all the time. That's a key verse of sin, because they believe not on Me. Now verse 10, of righteousness now, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. See, His righteousness is what we want. He was righteous. He was so righteous that He was taken to heaven. And He's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now. So we look to Him. It's not our righteousness. It's His righteousness. I'm thinking about what it says in 2 Corinthians. But the man that knew no sin, this is His righteousness. The man that knew no sin became what? Basically, our bloody sacrifice. He took our place. The man that knew no sin became our bloody sacrifice. That we might. Now here's an interesting might is an if. That we might. We can choose to do this or we can choose not to accept Him. The man that knew no sin became sin for us that we might. Some Bibles say become. No, that we might be made. The moment you come to Christ, you're made. That you might be made righteous in Yeshua. It's an incredible verse. So we're not becoming anything. As soon as we have Him in our heart and we ask Him to come and we love Him and follow Him, follow His word, follow His commandments, follow His statutes and all these things, well, then what do we have? We have His righteousness. My wife has a wonderful verse that she loves. She talks about it all the time. It's in Matthew 6:33, I think. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all the other things will be added unto you. What an incredible verse. So that's what we want. Now, verse 11. Of judgment, because this prince of this world is judged. When Jesus rose from the grave, basically Satan was judged. He thought he was going to win when Jesus was on the cross, but he lost. So when Jesus rose from the grave, what happened? Satan's been judged, and his time is very short in this day and hour. So we thank You for that, Lord. You have power over all power. You've given us, you'd say, all power and authority over all of Satan's works, whatsoever he's trying to do. And You say we can walk on serpents and scorpions and put those things under our feet because we belong to You. So there's a judgment coming, and we know He's going to be judged very soon. We know that. So verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Remember, He's the prince of the air. But one day, He's going to be cast down further to the earth, and what's going to happen? Then the end's going to be, all we have to do is look at the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and go on through, and you can find out what God's trying to tell us, how everything's going to come to a conclusion. Now we have verse 12 here. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. They couldn't. They wouldn't. They couldn't understand and bear it until He died and rose from the grave and the baptism of the Holy Ghost came. They did not. Think about it. In John here, we're in John, at the end of the book, 8 of the disciples were going to go back to their trade before they came to start walking with Jesus. And most of them were fishermen. Some of them were tax collectors. But most of them were fishermen. They were so confused they were going to go back to their old trade, what they did to make a living and all that. But when the Holy Ghost came, boy, it turned them upside down, and the whole world began to shake because they went out into the world and did the work that Yeshua called them to do. Hallelujah. He sent the Holy Ghost, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. What an incredible event. That was the power that the saints at that time need to have. That was the beginning of all of it. And I've said this several times in the program, honey. The Lord's been revealing to me more. Why do we see so many Christians backslidden, walking away from God, not doing the things that God wants us to do? It's because they don't have the Holy Ghost. They've been told that it's not for today, and or they've never asked for. But see, that's the power within us that we need. That's the engine that keeps this thing going. So we have to have the Holy Ghost. And if we don't have it, we're going to be weak. And we can do certain things, we know. But we really need the power. The power comes by the Holy Ghost and no other way. That's why this is so important here. Now, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And they couldn't. They wouldn't understand it until he died and rose from the grave. Now, here's the good part now, starting in verse 13. Howbeit, the Lord says, when he, who's this? He says, the Spirit of truth has come. Isn't that what the truth? No, the Spirit is what? He's truth, nothing but the truth. He will guide you into all truth. Hear this? And not to some truth, into all truth. He wants you to know all the truth. He's all truth. And we see all these things about a lot of these pagan things and things in churches and stuff that don't line up with what the Spirit of God wants us to be doing and understanding. So he's going to give us all truth and nothing but that truth. So we want to stay away from anything that's not the truth. And the Word of God reveals it to us. So we have to understand that. As we have the Holy Ghost in us and we're built up with that, we're going to hear things and it's going to quicken us just that quick. We're going to know that it's not the truth of God. So that's why he wants us to have supernatural discernment in these days. Isn't that one of the manifestations that's going to be from 1 Corinthians chapter 12? That we would have discerning of spirits in this day. We need it more so now than ever before. So he says, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. We don't want some, we want all of it. For he, who's the he? The Holy Ghost, shall not speak of himself. Listen to this. He won't speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. For what? It's a whatsoever he shall hear. Well, where's he hearing from? This is the key. Where does the Holy Ghost hear from? Well, we're going to find out as we read this. He's going to hear from Yeshua. Okay? And we'll read this again. Shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, even things to come in the future. It's all in the Bible here. He's going to show you a lot more. Verse 14. Now he, who's this? The Holy Ghost, shall glorify me. Who's the me? It's Yeshua HaMashiach. He's going to glorify the Lord. For he, the Holy Ghost, shall receive of mine, who received from Christ, okay, and shall show it unto you. Isn't that wonderful?
That's why the Bible says that we're to have the mind of Christ.
The mind of Christ, that's right.
And we're to renew. The Bible also says that we're to renew the spirit of our mind.
That's right.
You say, well, how does your mind have a spirit? Because you are a spirit. We are spirit beings.
That's right, we are. So this is really interesting. Let's read this again. He, the Holy Ghost, shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. Jesus is going to give you the things to say and do through you and I, and shall show it unto you. It's marvelous. Now, verse 15. All things, Jesus says, that the Father hath are mine. So the Father gives it to Yeshua. Therefore, said I, that he, the Holy Ghost here, shall take of mine, okay, of Yeshua. And where did he get it from? He got it from his Father, and shall show it unto you. Isn't that wonderful? So we see all three identities of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and all these things that were.
He's one. I like to say persons of the Godhead.
That's right. And verse 16, he says, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. So he's telling him right, he's going to die, he's going to go be with his Father, and then he came back, and came back to the earth after he was caught up, or when he was taken up to heaven with his Father at the day he died at the tomb, and then he came back again with them, and so they got to see him. They saw him before he died, and they saw him after he died, because it says over there in Acts chapter 1 that he was on this earth for how long?
40 days,
and then he died, went back to be with his Father, and then 10 days later, what? God sent the Holy Ghost for you and I.
He taught him the things of the kingdom during those 40 days.
Well, that's all he talked about,
and
was the things.
He walked with them, walked through doors, showed up for meals.
Just, that's right.
You know, they never knew when.
Mm-hmm.
Showed up on the lake, and had fish ready for them to
eat. That's right.
Taught them lessons, gave them life lessons. Of things of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because their life, they were going on to live, and they were going to go and continue to spread the gospel. And the gospel spread so much in those next
30 years.
That and they were, you know, persecuted. And they were all, they all died except for John. They all died.
They were beaten and flogged and put in jail. Had all kinds of things happen.
But they had the power of the Holy Ghost because they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
And they had the power to do all the things that, that the Lord had taught them and showed them to do because they trusted in Him. They knew He was the truth.
After they saw the resurrection and all, you know, what happened? Hallelujah. They knew He was the truth.
They saw all that. They watched Him. They listened to Him. They knew.
And then they went out to convey to the whole world that without Yeshua, people are lost. They got to have Him. He's our only Savior. He's the one that saves us out of our sins. Thank You for that. Well, then after Jesus said all this, in verse 17, then said some of the disciples among themselves, "What is this that He saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see Me, and again a little while, and you shall see Me, and because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that He saith? A little while. We cannot tell what He saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him, and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see Me, and again a little while, and you shall see Me." Wasn't too long, was it? He died, 3 days later they saw Him. Verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." That was a sorrowful time when we think about, when we take communion, think about the Passover and how He died and all that. But it tells us in Hebrews that after it was all over, Jesus said He rejoiced in all that. He counted all joy because He knew the pain and the sorrow He went through was going to be for the purpose for everyone in the world to have an opportunity to be saved through the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 31, "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, but her hour has come," Jesus says, "but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now know, therefore, having sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." I love that. I'm going to read that again. "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Just think if you had a relative that died, and someone really close, and then one day you looked up and here he was, out of the grave. Can you imagine what must have went through those men's minds when they saw this? You know, they knew it had to be God. It could be nobody else but God that would raise him from the dead. Can you imagine what that would be? So what would happen? He says right here, "And your joy no man shall take away from you." First of all, they had sorrow. And then when they saw Him, what happened? Joy, 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 joy came. And you know, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength.
Since joy comes in the morning.
That's right.
He rose early in the morning.
Early in the morning. Now, verse 23. And
He
in
is
that,
our joy.
He is all the time. Verse 23, this is all in red. Now, this is all what Yeshua said. "And in that day you shall ask Me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you." Boy, that's a powerful verse, isn't it? We ask. See, we don't just pray to Jesus. We pray to the Father in Yeshua's name. 24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in My name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you," Jesus says, "in proverbs," or parables and all. "But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." Wow. Verse 26, "At that day you shall ask in My name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father Himself loveth you." Boy, we got to put that in our heart. He loves us. "Because you have loved Me and have believed that I came out from God. Whew. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world again." I have come into the world again. I leave the world, and I go to the Father. Boy, it's incredible just to think about that verse, huh? "I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto Him, "Lo, now speakest Thou plainly and speaketh no proverb. Now are we sure that Thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask Thee. By this we believe that Thou camest forth from God. Jesus then answered them, and he said this, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about chapter 14 here in John as we look at this. John chapter 14. Verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled," the Lord says. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." That's the key. We believe in the Father, we got to believe in the Son. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So all of us that are believers, we got a place already prepared there. They're walking with the Lord. And verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Hear this. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, this is doubting Thomas. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. We just mentioned this a while ago. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he says, right, I am the way. He's the way into the kingdom of God. He's the truth of it. And he also gives eternal life. No other way. "And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen me." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Then Yeshua saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" Well, that's powerful, huh? "Believest not thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." This word "words" here in the Greek is the word rhema. It's a living word. Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." See, salvation will come. There's thousands of people that know the Lord now, out sharing the word of God and bringing people into the kingdom of God. Jesus was limited by time and space also, just like we are right now. We can only do so much. But all the saints together, whoa, so much more can be done. And then he says in verse 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, that's a strong one. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." There's our word what? In the Hebrew. What word is that? Olam, right? Forever. 17. "Even the Spirit of truth." Here, see? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because you seeth him not. Because it seeth him not. "Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." That's an interesting word. "Because it seeth him not." The world seeth not the Holy Ghost. Huh? "Neither knoweth him," the Holy Ghost. "But ye know him, for he," the Holy Ghost, "dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Boy, that's a wonderful verse.
You know, no one can have the Holy Ghost unless they have Jesus.
That's right.
Unless they've asked Jesus to come into their heart.
That's right.
Because the promise of the Holy Ghost comes after you ask Jesus to come into your heart.
That's right. It's subsequent, isn't it?
That's right. Mm-hmm. You repent of your sin. You ask him to come into your heart.
That's right.
And the Holy Ghost comes. But before, until you ask Jesus in your heart, there's no way you can have the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Now, verse 20. "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, that I am in my Father, and ye and me, and I and you. That's power.
Yeah, baby.
At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He's going to reveal him to
Amen.
Us. Amen. Judas then saith unto him, this is not Iscariot, but the other Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Yeshua answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. See, notice it says, we, the Father and the Son, will come unto him and make our abode with him. Isn't that incredible? He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Whoa. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, this is the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Ghost, it says right here, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I'm thinking about John 15. I think it's, see if I, I'm going to turn over real quick. John 15, I think it was around 26. So here it is.
When the Comforter comes?
That's right. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send, Jesus said, unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall do what? Testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have seen, because you have been with me from the beginning. Powerful, huh?
So the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which is the Comforter.
That's right.
He'll come.
And he always reveals to us Yeshua the Messiah.
He comes from the Father.
That's right.
And he is the Spirit of truth.
That's right.
Which proceeds from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. He shall testify of Yeshua.
That's right. And he's going to bring to remembrance all the things that we've learned, right, from the Word
and,
of God.
You know, we may not have memorized a scripture, but he, if we have looked at something, we read something, maybe even once.
That's right.
We may not know where it's at in the Bible, even, but the Holy Spirit knows everything. And
that's
the Holy
right.
Ghost will bring that scripture to our mind, right. To our remembrance.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to read that. Verse 26 is a powerful verse. But the Comforter, which we know is the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Ghost, he makes it clear here, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Isn't that incredible?
Mm-hmm.
Then verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Amen.
Verse 28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might truly believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me.
Mm-hmm.
But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Those are two very important chapters, aren't they? Chapter 14 and chapter 16 in the book of John. Powerful, 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 powerful words. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. So we have an awesome thing thinking about the Holy Ghost that Jesus sent. And we got so much of the church today. They talk a little bit about the Spirit of God, but there's really a difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost that the King James Bible brings out.
That's a good point to make. You might want to clarify that.
That's right.
Because we're reading now the King James Bible,
that's right.
Authorized.
Right.
But in the other Bibles, they don't use the word Holy Ghost.
They don't distinguish
and
it.
And the Holy Ghost means God's host.
That's right.
You know, when they went to war, we've been reading the Torah portions. We read that every Friday night. And we talked about this week, it's in the ending Numbers, and they had to go to war with the Midianites.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Holy Ghost had to go before them. At that point, they didn't know much about the Holy Ghost.
It's not mentioned
that way. Holy Ghost was still there.
Oh, yeah.
And the Spirit of truth was there, because the Spirit of truth is the Holy Ghost, and I'm getting a stronger voice even as I speak. Amen, amen. So the Holy Ghost was there.
That's right.
And it says over there in Numbers that, you know, the Midianites, they tried to deceive and even Balaam, they tried to deceive the Israelite people. They knew that they were in danger when they were coming into the land, because that was the end of the 40 years. The end of the 40 years in the wilderness was coming to an end.
Yeah.
And they were going to cross to Jordan. And they were fearful of the Israelites, because the Israelites had conquered many people. You know, they had battles even during the time they were in the wilderness. They had battles. And they won when they were doing what God told them to do. God
they always won, didn't they?
Because God was always with them. The Holy Ghost, God's host. See, God is a warrior. He's a warrior. God is a man of war. So when they were getting ready to go in, they tried to deceive the Israelites by sending in their women and intermarrying. Well, that was against God's word.
That's right.
And they were trying to make friends, and they thought they could, you know, come into agreement, and you know, their lives would be spared. But you know, even 24,000 people died at that time because the Israelite men took in the women.
That's right.
And had fornication with them, and they brought in people that were worshiping idols.
That's it.
God says, "Do not put anything before me. No idol. Nothing before him."
That's right.
And so when God spoke and told Moses, "You're going to go to battle against the Midianites," you know, God told him exactly how many, 1,000 people, 1,000 men from each tribe, and he set forth the leaders, and he set forth Pinehas. Is that his name? I'm trying to think of his name. The one who ran the javelin through the man and the woman that was in the tent. Starts with a P. I'm not really positive.
Phineas.
Okay. Phineas was zealous for the Lord.
For the Lord, absolutely.
And he knew what was right, and he was a man that he went after that, and he's the one that went into the tent and ran the javelin. You may think that sounds terrible, but you know,
God honored him.
God
was
pleased.
That's right.
And God saw that his zeal, you know, and he was of the priesthood, right. and
run that spear through both of them.
All right. And so he went in there, and he ran that spear through the man and through the woman and through her belly. You know, what would come forth from their seed? They would bring forth perverseness and idol worship.
And a mixture.
And mixture, and God didn't want mixture.
That's
they
right.
were to stay amongst their own people. Amen, even amongst their own tribes. So when God told them to take 1,000 from each tribe, and you know, that's not really a lot of people. That's only 12,000 men.
Right.
And I'm sure there were men that had not taken in women, those Midianite women, into their bed.
Right.
And so there were men that were
upright,
and righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God doesn't need a lot to win a battle.
Sure does.
He's the host. The Holy Ghost
He's the host of the army.
Host of the army.
That's right.
Amen. He's the leader. And so what I really like in that one chapter there also, I think it's chapter 20, maybe 32, I'm not positive, but it talks about they were to take the holy instruments out of the tabernacle. So
that's
they
right.
took holy instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you think, well, why are you taking holy instruments to war? It could have, you know, they took the trumpets. It could have been the thummim and the
Urim.
It could have been the breastplate. The righteousness. Now I want to go over to Ephesians chapter 6, because you know what? Those are our holy garments. It talks about that. We ought to go over there and read that over there, honey, in Ephesians chapter 6. You might want to go over there while I'm speaking.
Okay.
But they took those holy garments, those holy instruments, and they had the trumpet, and the priests went out, you know, and they went out to war, and they destroyed all of those men, of the Midianite men. They killed all of the Midianite men.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think it's interesting. God went before them. So he says, take holy instruments. So the holy instruments were things that were holy. They weren't swords and knives and, you know, things to kill people with.
They were
with.
Things to worship God with.
They were holy instruments, right? And one of them was, it says, a trumpet. And there must have been others. But I think about, they had to have been dressed for battle. Well,
that's right.
When we go out, we need to be dressed for battle.
Yeah.
And so they were dressed for battle because they had the right mind, they had the right heart, they had the shield of faith, they trusted in God, their feet were shod with peace, they weren't afraid to go out to battle. They had on the breastplate of righteousness. They were set. See, the Bible in the Old Testament doesn't talk about these things like it does over in the New Testament. But we got to know that when they were, when he called those men, and they picked the right men, to go out, that they went out and they won the battle.
They were ready for battle.
See, when God says go to war, God is the one who's leading the battle. God is the one who's in leading the battle. And
the Lord of hosts, hallelujah.
He's the Lord of hosts, and he's the one that's going to bring the victory. Amen.
That's right.
Thank you, Father God.
Even
with a small number of people.
You get it over and over.
That's right. And so so they did that, and they killed all the men. Well, they were supposed to kill everything, okay? But the Israelites didn't do that.
They
killed the men. But they brought back the women and the children. Well, Moses was wroth with them. It says he was wroth with them. He was angry with them. And God wasn't pleased either, because now they're bringing all these Midianite people into the camp. And all their cattle and all their gold and all their stuff. You know, even tin it says, right? Tin's not really worth much, is it?
Might have been in those days.
Well, maybe in those days. But they brought all of these things back in there. And, you know, Moses gave them instructions on what to do. Of course, Moses had to hear from the Lord.
That's right.
Moses heard from God. Mm-hmm. And so he gave them instructions on what to do. And I'm really surprised that God just didn't say destroy them all. But God said to kill all of the males.
The males.
That means even if you had a one-month-old baby boy, that male was to be killed. And to kill all the women that had known a man.
That's right.
So the only thing they were allowed to keep in the camp were the young girls and the virgin girls that had never known a man. And, of course, the animals, and he gives them directions about the animals, but that's not really the key point I'm trying to get to. But I'm really surprised that God even allowed the young virgin girls to stay, because you know what? Spirits are generational.
That's right.
And even if they were to stay in the camp of Israel... And perhaps God had a purpose because of the last days, what he says is going to happen in the very last days with the Midianites, with these people. Because these people are still around today, you know.
Spirits behind him still
and
there,
spirits. And so these people, even if they were young children, they were carrying the spirits of other gods and worshiping other gods. Because generational curses come down from the father, right?
Mm-hmm.
From our parents. And so I was, when reading that, I was really, but I'm thinking that, you know, of course God knows best, but I'm thinking it has to do with the last days, what's going to happen in the last days.
I believe so too.
With these people. But what happened was these young girls, they were able to take them as they grew up, you know, they were able to take them as their wives.
That's right.
And so they even then had a mixture in the camp. For instance, you were adopted,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't receive the generational curses from your adopted parents.
Nope.
You'll receive traits and habits and things that you learn from them, but not generational curses. The generational curses that would come down through our bloodline it's the blood that has to be cleansed. It comes down through the bloodline, are those that are from our generationals that comes back from our fathers, you know, from the fathers. Passed down through the generations. So,
third and fourth
so they
generation.
Were continue, they had to have continued to carry on some of those generational sins.
Sure.
And so what happens is they continued to get into idolatry. They continued to, even Solomon, they continued to build the high places. So even Solomon, he took in all these wives. He had lots of wives, lots of concubines.
Pagan wives.
Not only did he build them houses, but he built them houses of worship.
Yeah.
So there was a compromise there, and there was a mixture, and that does not please God. But even Solomon, in the end, do you think Solomon would have been lost? I mean, at the end, he realized his error.
That's right.
And he confessed his error.
So we see that today with a lot of things, don't we, call religion, all this paganism. But I'm thinking what you're talking about. You know, Balaam,
Balaam was killed, too.
Yeah, that's when he died.
They killed him, too,
that's
during
that
time. Because Balaam is the one who tried to curse God.
God Israel, allow, and he, God didn't, wouldn't let
Israel.
Him do it. Yeah.
God wouldn't let him do it.
That's right.
But Balaam was still hanging around with
Balak.
And the Midianites. He was hanging around with those guys.
That's right.
So he was doing the wrong thing. And so he even probably was the one who suggested, well, send your women in there, you know, and maybe we'll...
So
we
can curse Israel that way.
We can be friends, right?
Yeah.
And you won't all die.
Yeah.
Because they knew. They were afraid. They were fearful. But God sent when God calls an army to go forth, you know, he is the leader. My point is, he is the host, he is the leader, and it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost.
It's the Lord of warfare.
When we say Holy Ghost, we're saying he's the Lord of warfare.
That's right.
The God is.
He is.
So you don't go to battle on your own. You only go to battle when God says to. When the Israelite people went to battle on their own, they lost. or when they were in disobedience.
They lost. They always lost.
But when they did it with God's way,
they won.
They always won.
Even with a small number.
Because God is the one who won the war. And
that's right.
And they sent forth, see, those holy instruments. So holy instruments are important. So why don't you read what our holy instruments are over there in Ephesians chapter 6.
Yeah. But I think about Balaam. You know, he couldn't curse Israel, and yet he had a plan to intermingle with these other women, and that's how he thought he was going to bring Israel down, but he didn't.
No.
And so it's amazing when you look at in chapter 6 of Ephesians, what Donna's talking about here.
Whole armor of God.
Yeah. We'll start in verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Woo. Shush. Yeah. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. This means the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, you know, stand. If you get knocked down, you stand up again. Stand therefore, having your loins girded, or girded about, with truth, here's our truth again, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So there's our armor.
Right, where it says they're the sword of the Spirit.
That's right.
Now that to me is, see, God has given us a voice, and his word speaks. It's a two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. So we're speaking forth his word. And I believe that's the sword of the Spirit, because it comes out of our mouth. We all have only one voice box, right?
That's right.
Which I believe that we are God's trumpet. Mm-hmm. So we may not carry a trumpet or a shofar with us to blow a horn, but we are the trump of God. We speak forth the words of God. So we are God's trumpet. So when we open our mouth and we release the sound of the Lord or the voice of the Lord, God moves on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they had to have the trumpet with them, because that was his voice.
That's it.
The trump represented his voice. And
voice
we can read
God.
That back in Exodus.
That's right.
About the trumpet. So
yeah.
God spoke from the mountain, and it was a trumpet. It was a loud sound, and everyone understood it. Well, does everyone understand the sound of a trumpet? No, but everybody understands the sound of the Spirit, because the sound of the trumpet is the sound of the Spirit.
That's right. You got it.
Glory.
Because it doesn't tell you, oh, there was what, some man. It didn't say that Moses blew that trumpet, did it? God blew it. It was his voice that reverberated through the land.
And, you know, back over there in Numbers, it doesn't say that there were any casualties of the Israelite people either.
Nope, none.
It doesn't say anything about any casualties. So those men that were chosen were men of great faith and men that were able to walk in God's holiness.
That's right.
First had to be his holiness, his truth. They believed, they had faith, they had on the full armor of God.
That's it.
And they trusted God. God is the one who wins the battle.
That's how we always win the battle, if we let him. He's on our side, so we need to follow him. He's the Lord of Sabaoth. He's the host. He's the Lord of warfare.
That's it.
And he'll go before you, and he'll do the things that need to be done. Amen? So it's wonderful to think about all this that we have. So we got so many things in the first covenant. There are patterns for what we see God's telling us today.
He wants
us to know this. And so they are patterns. And so we see a lot of the evil things.
Hallelujah.
But God always turns the evil. Like Balaam, you know, he turns the evil around to something good. Well, Balaam finally lost his life. But he was a deceptive person. He tried to come in the back door, try to deceive. He knew the men, you know, the sexual issues and all, that they would succumb to that with the women. And they did. And they brought a lot of havoc to the nation of Israel at that time. Well, he wound up getting his judgment by the Lord God himself. And so we have to know that he's on our side. Amen. No weapon formed against us, it says, shall prosper. Listen to this. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that speaks any kind of judgment against us, the tongue, we can condemn those words. Not the people, but the words. We condemn the words. And that's the heritage of the saints. And so we have to remember that and stay in that place. In fact, I'm going to go over there for a moment and just look at this verse with you for a moment here before we close. We only got a couple more minutes here. But I love the Word of God. I hope all you that are listening today do. And if you do, and you believe it, and you walk in the fullness of it, just think, you're going to be a victor. Isaiah 54:17. We've all heard of this, but look at this. No weapon, nothing enemy can bring, that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So if we walk with the Lord, like Moses did, and a lot of the people through the Bible, what? They won the battle. But when they were in sin, doing the wrong thing, they lost.
They lost.
They lost.
Every time.
They tried to do it on their own, they lost.
They had great casualties.
Yep.
We're not to have casualties.
That's right. It's incredible.
We win the battle.
Think about the battle they had at Ai, you know, because of the sin in the camp. So
this, whenever there's sin in the camp, God can't move.
He can't move. It's going to be held back.
So God says to be holy as I am holy. Well,
that's
this
right.
Is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be here every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon till 1 o'clock. And you can also listen to this again. If you want to go to the internet, WCNO.com, download their app. You can put it on your phone and listen to us again. So we hope you enjoy this blessed program and this teaching. And we have services here in Stuart, Florida, every Friday night at 7 p.m. Shabbat, and also Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our phone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. Come visit us.
Amen. And I failed to mention this up front. I do have a book that I wrote a long time ago. It's called God's Prophetic Calendar, and also Pictures of the Messiah as Revealed in God's Appointed Times. It covers all the appointed times in Leviticus chapter 23, all seven of them, with the historical event, but also prophetically where we're at today. We haven't mentioned that for a while, but that's available to you for $25.
Plus shipping and handling.
And shipping and handling. It may be like $4 to get it mailed out to you. And so all you have to do is make out a check to that, mail it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Post Office Box 413, that's in Stuart, Florida, and our zip here is 34995. And you'll learn a lot, and we see everything that God has in the Bible. There's examples for you and I that we can walk into the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost, can't we, Pastor Don?
Amen.
And we can be victors in everything that we do. We are not losers, we're winners, because God's on our side. And aren't we glad?
Amen.
I'm so glad. And so continue to pray for Pastor Don across the table from me. It's so good to see her, and she... when she got talking, the anointing came right out. So we thank you see, the anointing is what destroys the yoke. And so she's healed in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's
Amen.
Name. So we trust you were blessed with today. And as we tell you every week, we're here to raise the standard in the body of Christ, to teach some things and encourage us to walk a holy life with Him, because He's demanding that of us. He says, be holy as I am holy. So we have His Word how to walk that way. So we thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you tune in again next week at the same time. So as we close the program, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord, and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.